Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Monday, May 2nd, 2016, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Master Your Mindset Monday. Yay! This is the day set aside each first Monday of the month that we go inside the thoughts and things inside our heads and attempt to see if there are some opportunities. Yes, I said opportunities to take a look at things a little differently than we see them or have previously seen them. It's a chance to challenge our mental processes to see if they're working to bless us or benefit us or not. It's a time for inner analysis and reflection on the places in our minds that may need some new seeds. They need some new seeds planted in there, and they need some weeds plucked. Yep. All in all, the truth of it is that our thoughts are a commanding force in our lives, commanding and demanding our directions, our decisions, and our outcomes in life. Thoughts lead our actions. Did you hear what I said? Thoughts lead our actions. Actions are not self-contained. They don't do what they do by themselves. They are thought-provoked, thought-persuaded. Actions are proof of your thoughts. You know what that means? That equals truth. So when we look at ourselves, do we dare ask ourselves about our truth? Can we handle our truth even? Why do we do things? Why do we think what we think? Why is something the way it is about our lives or ourselves? Why are we who we are, who we think we are, who we say we are? I know it's deep, but we are going to swim there today anyway. I have my radio BFF, the superstar RRR, Cassandra McShepherd on the line, and I just bet she's ready to go on this one. Hey, Cassandra.
Good morning, Silver, and to all of your faithful listeners. Yes, this is one of my favorite topics. Thoughts are things. They are incredibly powerful and creative things. They almost tend to grow legs and walk before your face. And it's funny because, as you say, though the things that we think manifest and make themselves at home in our lives, many of us don't recognize them when they do that.
Yes. Well, I'm excited that we are definitely talking about what we are talking about. You are someone who speaks of doing your truth and people doing their truth and how we do our truth. For as long as I've known you, you've used that phrase or spoke to the evidences of that in yourself and the lives of other people. So I know you have some interesting things to say. But I looked up the definition of truth because I wanted to kind of lay a little bit of a foundation for us. And the dictionary says that it's a constancy. It's an actuality. It's what's actually in existence, a fact with reality. And I thought that that was good. So anybody listening, kind of get on the same page with us about that, because we are living in a very different kind of society where, you know, there's stuff dangled in front of us. And even though we may not even, I mean, we know it's not the truth, but we'll say it's the truth. We'll buy in. And and that's one of the reasons why I really felt this show was so necessary today, because everything that is called the truth is not the truth, and particularly may not be the truth for everybody, anybody, or you. And it's important, I think, that we start to really look at ourselves so much more individually now, because we have this huge social media thing that tells us stuff constantly about who we are, what we should do, what's right for us, what's wrong for us. But it's so critical for us to understand ourselves and our own truth, and that's where the validity comes from this topic today and what we'll be sharing with others. You know, when I think of it, it impacts to so many areas of life, Cassandra, but our relationships, families, work, you know, lots of other things. And we will tend, again, to live in illusions or falsehoods unless something really does say, but this is the logical, reasonable truth about the whole thing. So our number one point, and you can go ahead and elaborate on this, but I have decisions. The things that we do directly impact what our lives are like, but as well as the indecisions do as well. So what we do, what we don't do, produces a certain result, and it produces the truth of whatever it is we did do or didn't.
You know, Silver, I read some place a long time ago that thoughts being things, so the things that we think are constantly weaving the circumstances of our lives, and that we do this so we are co-creating our experiences, albeit most of us unconsciously. And you talk about deciding to do something, but as you say, is the indecision is also it's like a co-signing on something, also, meaning that life is ever evolving and creating. And I love it because I really see it as a canvas, and you can never run out. So either it's every time you think a canvas is fully painted, then you are magically presented with a new one, or you can just move down a block and continue painting. However, it happens, but we are creating painting on that canvas with our fears, with our joy, with our insecurities, with the thoughts, with our beliefs, with all of those things. And the decisions that we make, again, which is why these conversations are so important, because what we are encouraging you, the listener, to do is to really sit with you and check yourself. What are you thinking? Why are you thinking what you're thinking? Was it mama's fears or daddy's ideas? Is it real for you today? Because based on that belief, albeit unconscious, you are creating or painting the landscape of your life.
You are absolutely right, because the evidence is there. Whatever is there,
yes,
it's the result of all of the things that you just described, whether, you know, it's good or bad. But often what we do, it's so easy for us to embrace the things that work, that are right, and we'll claim that. But when things are not right because of the truth that we lived, you know, we're going to place blame. We're going to place fault. We're going to, you know, make ourselves a victim. We're going to stake claims against situations and circumstances that we want to make responsible. But we have to look at the evidence. And I learned this in my own circumstances. So I'm not pointing the finger at nobody. This is stuff I know for myself. Because I'm that kind of person that's going to really look at why something got messed up, jacked up, failed, didn't work out, or whatever, I want to know why. I want to know why. If I even begin to have it come out of my thoughts and my lips that it's somebody else's fault, I got to wind myself, reel myself back in and see from the starting point what happened. What are the factors? Who was involved? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? What didn't I do? I think it's so important, because one of the things, the major premises of what I live on, and this is not my own, I heard this someplace, but it says if you don't deal with the truth about something, you're never going to get the right answers. And so if we don't look at ourselves and what's going on and the reality of it, and it takes some thought work, it really does. I enjoy that process of evaluating and being analytical about life and things. I've had to do that because that was the only way I could make sense of a lot of stuff. But what we find is at the end of all of that is a truth. It's a reality. And then it's up to us to decide to put that, to internalize that. We only can get healthier from it. We can only get happier from it, because now we're dealing with something that, even though it may not be the best result, at least we've created a lesson. We've created something that we've learned from. We've created something that has made us smarter and wiser along the way.
you know, it is said, and quite appropriately so, that you cannot change what you refuse to ignore, what you refuse to see. And I think about situations, and all of us have any number of situations where things went awry, and it would seem so much easier to mark somebody else as guilty and be done with it. They did this to me, and so on and so forth. And, you know, I don't believe in that. I think that there's, and I know that this is grown folks thinking, but there's just one of us here, and that is the child of God, which means that if you are in my life and interacting with me, you are a reflection of me. So whether that's something that you can wrap your mind around or not, which means then, though, I cannot blame you without taking responsibility myself. So mm-hmm. say that. But whether one can wrap their mind around that or not, I say it like this. Let's do what works. Let's, you know, cut all the metaphysical stuff and all the ethereal stuff. Let's just do what works. Because my blaming someone else, packaging, handwriting a note or a full description of what they did or should have done or didn't do or could have done, and delivering it to them by hand, by courier, paid a lot for that too, and placing it right at their feet, does not make my situation any better. I found that people have a really hard time wanting to see themselves in a situation. But what works is taking responsibility for your part in the play, whatever it was, whatever it was. If you take responsibility, you're in control. I am not a victim. And I've had some, you know, pretty jacked up things that have happened in my life. But I'm like, okay, I was there, but now I'm not. So because I take responsibility for being there, I can extract myself from the situation. I don't have to stay wrapped up in that box that I've delivered to your feet waiting for you to acknowledge what I think you did to me and then what make it right. The reality is it won't be right because I am not really ready to be responsible and say, you know what, I'm over that.
That's excellent. Well, the second thing I have is that our impulses, our inclinations, and ideas can be altered and changed. Whatever those truths are that may be, and you just said it, not working for us, you want to do what works, whatever may not be working and you feel that it's a truth, well, if it's not producing some good positive results, that's a truth that needs to be challenged and perhaps changed. You want to consider that, of course, with anything that may be impeding or sabotaging your own progress or happiness in life. And there are numbers of things. A lot of things I find that we go about life just accepting. It gives us a horrible feeling in our gut. We wake up in the morning worrying about it. We go face it at work. And we tell ourselves that, you know, those things are just often a part of the product of whatever we're dealing with at the time. But changing some things and situations and circumstances can absolutely change. By changing the truth of those situations, you will absolutely change how you wake up in the morning and how you go about life and what your future looks like.
You're right. Now, you say changing the truth of a situation, and that is so huge. And yet so small. I say, as we say often, changing your mind about a situation, rewrite history if you must or if you will, write it your own way, a way that works for you, a way that makes you victorious. But to change your mind about a situation or change your truth about a situation, the reality as I see it is, Silver, the only thing that is true is what we say is true. If mm-hmm. if we decide within ourselves that something is no longer true, and I think that we should constantly check ourselves, as you say, to weed out those things which no longer ring true to us, those things which no longer suit us, because many of us, if not most of us, are functioning on our parents' belief systems. We are caught up and terrified by their fears and their anxiety. And why? Because we didn't question, is this real for me? And so when you say find your truth, I say change your mind and make it different. Let me give you an example. This is one of my favorite stories. You know I don't particularly care for short, dark, rainy days. They make me nervous, right? I don't like winter time, not my favorite time of year. I prefer to be in 24-hour, never-ending, perpetual sunshine. Okay, that's my problem. But when I lived in the Bay Area, there was this thing called the rainy season in lieu of winter here. And I much prefer the rainy season, even though it's still not the sunshine. But I went for a walk with a friend of mine once in the rain. And when she asked me to do that, I said, well, why would I do that? She said, because I have a slicker. Another saying of mine was, if I'm not dressed, I can't go, meaning that I didn't dress for drama or nonsense or, you know, foolishness, so I don't have wardrobe for that, so I can't get involved in that. Well, and I'm like, so when she pulled out this slicker and a hat, raincoat and hat for me, my size, and one for her, and she even had galoshes. Well, I was so tickled by that, I thought, because she knew me. She saw me coming, so she removed that reason for me not going. So we went for a walk, and it wasn't cold. It was just gray and rainy and yucky. But we were walking in the Oakland Hills and talking, having wonderful mind-bending, soul-searching conversations, as we do, as you and I do, Silver. And so we were walking and talking. At some point, probably about a half an hour or so into the walk, she said, you're having fun, aren't you? And I said, well, yes, I am. Shut up. Because I knew where she was going. She said, you see, honey, it's not the rain. It's what you think about the rain. And I mean, prior to that mind-busting revelation, I would get, like, really kind of funky when it rained outside, which made me funky like 4 or 5 months of the year. That's another problem. But, you know, I would get all twisted and bent. Oh, it's raining. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. It's raining, so what? But for people who love the rain, or for a really healthy person who just blessed whatever it was, which is the truth of the situation, it is what it is. It's not personal. It just is. Rain, it's sun, it's snow, it's whatever, can go ahead and live a life without assigning some bogus meaning to persecute themselves by something that has nothing to do with them. I rest my case.
And that was that said it. I tell you, it really did. I don't know that there could have been a better explanation for that as far as making it absolute clear what we mean. Number three is, what's your guiding light? Are you led by someone else's truth, or are you led by your own? And as I said earlier about the whole revolution of social media and the, I guess we'll call it opportunities, because there are so many opportunities out there to grow, to learn, to expand, to see stuff with it. But there's so many others that go on the other end of the spectrum that don't aid in helping or healing or doing anything wonderful or wise. And so I think it's important to deal with the fact that whatever truth we may be living and leading may not be what is actually going to create the evidence of the good things, of the good life, of the things we want to enjoy, of the things that will make us happy. And you have to ask yourself at these junctures and these points where you're embracing all of this thought stuff and ideas about how you should look and be and success and all of that, is that really what works for you? Because if you're going to be trying to attain always to somebody else's idea or ideal or the way that people say it ought to be or should be, or this is the only way it should look like, then that's going to be a hard truth to live out, because so many people are never going to get to that, because that's not your actuality or truth or reality or purpose or plan. And so it's critical to understand that there may be a light to follow, but it doesn't mean that it's the light you should be following.
You know what I absolutely love about what you just said, and again, I want to encourage people to consider this. I just had a conversation with a good friend of mine on Friday, and we're talking about the blessings that are ours by birthright,
And that's providing you think right. Because if you think there are. But if you don't, oh, well, you're jacked. But in any case, we're talking about the blessings that were ours by birthright. And I said, I don't think you can miss it. And her response was, oh, yes, you can. And miss the blessings that, you know, God's blessings for you, God's plan for your life, whatever, whatever, however, whatever that is. But hers was, yes, you could. And then she gave me some scenario of somebody that said something that, and I thought, as I listened, I thought, now this is interesting because that's not the God of my understanding or my experience. Let me consider for a second a God that does have a time stamp on a blessing. No, I don't want to consider that. Okay, that's not going to be true for me. I did not attempt to, you know, I made enough noise to give her something to consider, something else to consider, but she was convinced on believing as she believed. And so we came to this place where I thought, okay, but I choose not to believe that. I choose not to operate under that limited thought. I choose not to set up a situation whereby I must somehow, with all that I am not, figure out what to do in any given situation, or I'm going to miss the blessing that God has for me. Why would I want to believe that? So it wasn't that I changed my mind, but I held on to a truth that works for me, a truth that enables me to, with ease and grace, go through my paces of life, trusting that I will never fail, trusting that I will eventually get it right. And when I eventually get it right, ooh, who knew? It's going to be the perfect time.
That's really excellent. In fact, it goes right into our last point, Cassandra. Your mind will believe you, whatever truth you tell it. And
gosh,
what
you
believe, and what you believe as a truth can actually be a lie. And I'm going to say it again so we can elaborate on it, Cassandra. Your mind will believe you, and what you believe as a truth can be a lie. And that leaves the whole world of thought and embracing new things open for any individual to decide that something is not working, as you just described in the conversation that you had, that there is an opportunity for me to look at this. How does it impact me or affect me? How do I analyze this so that I can move forward, so that I can achieve, so that I can be okay, so that I can heal or whatever? Because if somebody says something to you that is absolute. Well, there are some absolutes. I won't deny that. You know, we've determined
not
that the color.
Not as many as we may think.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't believe. Not nearly as many as we may, as people would have us believe.
You're right. And that's all the more reason why when these things are set up for us, that we look at whether it's something that is going to move us forward or something that we need to tear down and get it out of our way. That's just the way we have to look at it.
And we mustn't be ashamed or apologetic to do that. I find that a lot of times, as in the case of my friend, from my perspective, this thing which she believed to be true was just something that she was holding on to, something that she saw. And I don't dispute it for her, but it certainly is not a workable truth for me, where I have to get it right on time, because we know I don't do much on time, Silver. Like, no, I need some leeway. But I think about, well, no, it's that's real. You know, it's just, but however we choose to see it in a situation is what is going to be real for us. And whether it's real or not, you know, it's like this, and I love this consideration, this contemplation, because it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg, the blessing or the manifestation? Well, the manifestation was there, and you sensed it or recognized it in spiritual terms or intuitively, and so you did the right thing. Who cares? One thing I think that all anybody who will recognize something greater than themselves realizes is that there is power in focus, planning, in centering yourself in prayer and meditate, in thinking on things and looking ahead past the situation that you are. There's real power in that. And so, and I don't care whether we create it by doing that or whether we do that and then we recognize what's available. I believe that, and I say this often, that the answer is yes to everything in this thing that we call a world, this universe, be it gods or whoever you claim it. The answer is always yes. But the question is the thing. What is your question? And we ask the question with our thoughts, with our decision, with our fears, with everything. And like I always say, I never find a parking space. God, universe says, okay, yeah, you're right. I always find a parking space. God, universe says, yeah, you're right. It don't matter. It's not that deep. What is your question? What do you expect to see? What is your belief system? That's what you're going to see. And when I consider that, it makes me want to change my mind with the quickness to change and question and challenge every negative thought pattern or belief that says that I cannot do, be, have anything that I choose to do, be, or have. And all I have to do is change my mind. Well, mark me present. Here we go.
And there you have it, folks. Wow, what a conversation, Cassandra. I knew that it would. I knew that it would be deep. That's why I said we're going to go ahead and swim there. We may have to see about scheduling another show to wrap up some more thoughts and share them on this particular subject as well. Thank you so much for, as always, for the wonderful insights and information sharing that you do to make this show so very, very fruitful and to help meet the purposes and goals that I've set it up for. I appreciate you so much for that. I really do.
Always. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Would you go ahead and just share with people, take a minute to tell people about the things you do? I had just had the wonderful opportunity to be at an event where you are the spokesperson. You might want to tell people about that in case they want to have you come speak.
I was a keynote speaker for the Wisconsin Alzheimer's third annual Breaking the Silence Breakfast. Alzheimer's is a devastating disease in general, but it appears to devastate communities of color even more frequently. And with that said, we don't always get the services or even the information that is available. My mother lived through, suffered from, and died behind complications of Alzheimer's, and so it's something that's really clear to my heart. So I was doing that, and it's funny, Silver, because as we were there, I was a keynote speaker, and am not a physician or a practitioner of any kind, just an orphan from this disease. But there were several caretakers that had spoken before me, and so I sat there, as you saw me crossing off things off of my speech. So, okay, well, that's been said three times. Okay, can't say, well, that's been said. Okay, that's the third time. Well, that's two and a half times. So I was like, what am I going to do? And as I sat there, I thought to myself, or it came to me even, use what you have. And so
right.
I shared in poetic ways, and I opened my mouth, and I sang certain things because music is incredibly powerful. And you think, do keynote speakers sing? And if they can, and so I did.
And boy, did you ever.
I
And I just want to tell anybody, if you are in that area of Alzheimer's research or awareness, Cassandra brought a message, I tell you. So don't hesitate to visit her at www.CassandraMcShepherd.com. Look on my webpage for the show, www.CassandraMcShepherd.com. She's also one of the panel hosts on Real Milwaukee, which airs Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. She's just really a girl. She's got it going on. Check that out. It streams online, so you can see her doing her thing. Thanks again, Cassandra. Appreciate you, and I'll talk with you in a little while.
All right, dear. Thank you.
Have a great day. Okay, thanks so much. And thank all of you for your time and being willing to stretch your intelligence. Appreciate you so much. I look forward to connecting with you again next Monday. In the meantime, tell your friends about the show. And you know what I say, be good, be blessed, be awesome. Look forward to next time. Have a wonderful day.